And he says something here that I want to pass on to you. I want you to reflect on this. Faith is a liberation of my I meaning the letter I with quotes around it. Faith is a liberation of my I from its preoccupation with self. It's always I, me. And Pope Benedict says, true faith breaks that open. It liberates you from that focus on self, to focus on God and other people. It frees you. He says, it is a breaking out of the isolation that is the sickness, the malady of my I, me. I need this. I want that. It's all focused on me. And if I have anything left over, I'll help somebody else if I'm good. But the focus should be God and his people and then me. And the only thing that can break us out of what Pope Benedict calls an isolation is asking God for grace, as we've talked about all week. Lord, awaken in me an understanding of who I am and where I'm going. Awaken in me a zeal for my Father's house. Awaken in me a desire to put myself further down the line, to serve God, to serve others, and then me. Pope Benedict says, in order to comply with the apostles' request, increase our faith, the Lord begins by correcting their conception of it. You know, we think of faith as I believe this, 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 and this. Well, that's true. But he says the grace of faith is actually, first of all, a breaking of ourselves out from this preoccupation with me, the sickness, the malady of I first. Faith increases in those who are truly humble, who acknowledge that before the Lord they ever remain unprofitable servants. Faith increases when we are willing to bear our share of the hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. An increase of faith is given to those resolute with the conviction that the vision of faith presses on to fulfillment and will not disappoint. Who made you? God made me. Why did God make you? God made me to love him and to serve him in this world and to be happy with him in the next. That's it in its simplest form. But an increase of faith presses on to fulfillment, and it will not disappoint. Faith of this intensity, even if only as small as a mustard seed, makes miracles happen. That kind of faith. Faith that says, Lord, everything in my life I want to give to you and to the building of your kingdom. May my life, the life of my family, may it reflect that. Help us, Lord, increase our faith. And you're going to find it's like you put on new glasses or you take off glasses because you don't need them anymore. Whatever gives you clarity of vision, you go, oh, I see. I see. I didn't see. And now I see. That's what we've been talking about this week when we talk about an awakening. It just reprioritizes your life. The first reading for this Sunday's Mass is taken from the book of the prophet Habakkuk, chapter 1 and part of chapter 2. How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you, violence, but you do not intervene. Remember what we've been talking about this week? Here, I'm trying to be righteous. I'm seeking you, and everything just seems to get worse. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look at misery? Destruction and violence are before me. There's strife and clamors, discord. And then the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision clearly upon the tablets so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time. It presses on to fulfillment, and it will not disappoint. The vision of who I am and where I'm going and what awaits me. For the vision still has its time. No matter what you're going through, it presses on to fulfillment, no matter what cross you're carrying, and it will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. it will surely come and it will not be late. The rash one has no integrity. The one who says, I give up, I'm finished, this doesn't work, things get worse, my prayers aren't answered, I give up. That's the rash one who has no integrity. But the just one, because of his faith, shall live. Ask for the increase of faith. And if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't let your heart be hardened by selfishness, by self-focus. Don't let your heart be hardened by looking out for me first. Don't let your heart be hardened by not listening to the word of God, by not allowing into your mind and your heart and your spirit those things that will foster the vision of the truth. Don't let your heart be hardened. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The second reading is from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1. Beloved, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. When you were baptized, when you were confirmed, hands were laid upon you. I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Bear your share of hardship. Bear your share of hardship for the sake of the gospel, that God's grace, God's love, God's light might shine out through you even in the midst of hardship and difficulty, that the presence of God might be manifested through you. Take as your norm the sound words that you heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard this rich trust with the help of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. You and I, brothers and sisters, have been given great gifts, great graces, great graces. Guard this rich trust with the help of the Holy Spirit. Guard it. Ask for faith and love to increase. You know, go way out on a limb. Say, Lord, give me the faith of Paul. Give me the zeal of Francis of Assisi. Give me the love that Francis had for your people. Let me be that sign of your presence in the world. You watch. Might not come the way you expect, but you watch. You ask God for what's first in God's heart. You watch what happens. The gospel of today is taken from the gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. No, Lord, do something. Do something. Increase our faith. Our faith is weak. It's shallow. Increase it. And the Lord replied, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. If you had genuine faith, but you see, our faith is so mixed. Do I depend totally on the Lord? No. I provide for myself. And you say, well, isn't that reasonable? I mean, God gives us these gifts and we're supposed to provide. Yes. But do you recognize and acknowledge the source of every gift that you have? Of everything that's been given, even if it's come through your hard work, the source of it is God. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, get up and be planted in the middle of the sea. You could do so much. Now, our goal of faith is not to be moving trees around. The goal of our faith is that we so believe in him and so believe in what he has created us for that we become his disciples. And many things do happen when you're genuinely a disciple of Christ. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep, come here immediately and take your place at table? Would he not rather say to him, prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink? You may eat and drink when I am finished. Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do. Be willing to be a servant of God, to do his bidding, and not your own. Not your own. You know, I talk to so many young people about what are you going to do with your life, with your talents and your abilities, your gifts, whatever. What are you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be that. And they're all, many of them, very laudable intentions, very laudable. But the thing I want to say to each of them is, make sure you put your plans before God. Make sure. Put them there. Put them at his feet. Say, God, I'll leave these at your feet for a few days. I'll be your servant. You either bless what I'm thinking of pursuing or change it. And you would be amazed, brothers and sisters, how many people have done that, who have either found a very strong confirmation that enabled them to endure the trials or difficulties involved, or they were changed. They heard a word from the Lord, they just never ask him. No, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to jump in and say, well, what I think is. But when you're a genuine servant who doesn't take a break from serving, your attitude, your posture is always a servant of the Lord. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. When that's your attitude. But it takes faith to do that, doesn't it? Because sometimes the answer is nothing. It's absolutely silent. So you wait. And we don't like to wait. But that posture, that attitude, giving God adequate time. And, you know, if after a period of time I still hear nothing, then I take that as God's way of saying, go ahead. As long as your heart's right, as long as you don't have unrepentant sin, you can say, all right, Lord, I'll go and do what I think I should. I've laid it before you. Trust him. Have faith. God bless you. In July of this year, I gave a spiritual retreat with Sister Sarah Burdick on the teachings of St. Francis de Sales. The 6 CDs from that retreat are available for $47.50. For more information, write hjroot@sbcglobal.net. That's hjroot@sbcglobal.net.
Elections do have consequences.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The 2006 November elections resulted in the most pro-abortion Congress history has seen. Over the past several months, pro-abortion advocates in the House and Senate have fervently opposed life at every opportunity. Already this session, they have approved measures to allow more taxpayer-funded abortions, granted a multi-million dollar increase in funding for America's number one abortion provider, Planned Parenthood, and allocated more funds for research requiring the destruction of tiny human embryos. Those appalled at such developments realize more than ever that every pro-life vote counts.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
Fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church's mission